Great to have you guys with us this morning, and welcome. My name is Jory. I'm the student ministries pastor here at Thrive, and kind of filling in while our head pastor, Steve, is on sabbatical for the summer. And it's great to be back with you guys. We've been starting to go through this series called Move, and it's through the book of James. I love the book of James, and we chose the name Move because kind of there's this ongoing theme throughout James, it's really about how our faith brings us or leads us to action. And if I'm being honest, the word move has been really prevalent in my life recently. Not only are we going through a series called Move, but my wife and I actually moved into our very first house yesterday. So that was crazy. Man, when you do these things, you never really, when it's your first time, you don't really know what you're getting into. Like, who knew that, like, that it was such a process to do this? There's like, you know, first you have to save, you know, to be able to get the home, and then you have to get pre-approved, and then you actually have to find a home that you like, and it's good, and, you know, you have to get an accepted offer, and, you know, if you have to go through all these steps or the inspection, and there's all this, like, paperwork, like, who knew there's all those things to it. So it's been kind of a wild ride. But the reason that I'm bringing this stuff up about our own move with you guys is because in order for the move to have even happened, and by the way, thank you for everyone who helped Emma and I move the other day. It really made a huge difference. In order for this move to even have happened, we had to actually do a lot of things. We had to do stuff. And what's interesting is, if we hadn't done any of these steps, and then when it came to the actual moving, if we hadn't actually moved all of our physical junk, we have a lot of junk, into our house, you know, you never know when you start doing these things how much junk you really have. But if we hadn't actually gone through these steps, the move wouldn't have taken place. And so, enough about our move. The reason I bring this up is because today, what I want to talk about with you guys, and the title of this message is called Move Towards Doing. We had to do a lot of stuff in order for our move to take place. That's what I was trying to get at. Today we're talking about being doers of God's word and moving towards doing. And before we look at James together, I'd love to pray and just invite the Lord to lead us as we look at his word. So would you join me in praying? Jesus, thanks so much for this time together. And Lord, we're thankful for your word and that we get to look and see what you have for us. Jesus, please lead me as I share. Please speak through me. Lord, I pray that you would give us just ears to hear what you have for us right now. I just ask this in your name, Jesus. Amen. So we're going to be looking, continuing actually at the end of the first chapter of James. So if you have your Bible or Bible app, you can get that out and follow along, or it'll be on the screen too if you want to do that. But we're going to be looking at the last verses in James, verses 19 through 26. And what's interesting is that James, he actually starts talking about anger. So he doesn't talk about doing right away. And to be honest, I probably could do a full sermon about anger if I wanted to, but this is only a six-week series, and I kind of had to pick and choose what it was going to be. But I didn't want to just skip over what he says on anger because it's really genius, and I wanted to share this with you guys, and I think it transitions well to where we're going. So this is following. This is verses 19 through 21. And James is talking about, he starts to talk about anger, and let's look at what he says. Verse 19, "Know this, my beloved brothers, let every person be quick to hear, slow to speak, slow to anger. For the anger of man does not produce the righteousness that God requires. Therefore, put away all filthiness and rampant wickedness, and receive with meekness the implanted word, which is able to save your souls. So I think, I love this, because James, I think, gives some of maybe the best practical advice about anger, right? And they kind of stem from a couple of Proverbs. But I love what he says in verse 19. He says, be quick to hear, slow to speak, and slow to anger. I love how he says that, and it makes sense. You know, if we think about being quick to hear, this makes sense because we need to understand what someone's telling us, so we limit, you know, miscommunication with one another. So that makes sense, being quick to hear, like, everything that someone's saying. And then he says, be slow to speak. And I think this makes sense as well, because if we're slow to speak, then we're less likely to snap or say something dumb, right? I think this is where we get into trouble, or I've gotten into trouble many times myself, and I actually thought of a personal story when Emma and I started dating. I remember we had this lunch date set up, and I don't know if she remembers this, but we had this lunch date set up, and she completely forgot about it. She had something else going on. And we were, like, talking on the phone, and I realized, like, she forgot about it. And I'm like, don't you have a calendar? And I was, like, such a jerk. I don't know why I remember this time, because I know I've snapped other times. And maybe it's because, like, it was one of the first times that I had done that. And I was like, oh, man, that's horrible. And so, I apologize to the later, you know. And I really meant it. But it makes sense that James says, let's be quick to listen, slow to speak. And then he says, slow to anger. And I think even in doing those two things and being quick to listen and slow to speak, it's hopefully going to lead us to being slow to being angry at someone. And that's all work of the Spirit in us as well. But I love what he says there. And he says in verse 20 that, you know, we should be slow to anger because this anger is not going to produce the righteousness that God requires. And I think of in Matthew when Jesus talks about anger and how he says that if you're angry with a brother, you should be judged as if you had already murdered him. And so that makes sense. And then James goes on and says, therefore, put away all filthiness and rampant wickedness. And then he says, receive with meekness or humility the implanted word, which is able to save your souls. And so James says, hey, be quick to listen, slow to speak, slow to anger, because this anger is not going to produce the righteousness that God requires. And he says, hey, put that all away. Put it all away and receive with humility this word. And I want to touch on something real quick. I love how James talks about, he says, this word, or receive this, and how it's able to save your souls. Man, I don't want to go down too much of a bunny trail with you guys this morning, but I love that, because he just reminds us of the power that's in this book. I read something the other day. It was by Francis Chan. Maybe some of you guys have read him. He's one of my favorite authors. But he talked about how when we come to this book and read it, we should read it as if we're hearing a voice from heaven, because that's what it is. These are God's words, and James points it out. These words have the power to save, because in it he talks about the gospel and Jesus dying for our sins, and how when we put our faith in him, we can have a relationship with him, an eternal life with him. And man, this, I can't overlook how powerful this book is. And I love how James points it out. All right, enough with the bunny trail. So James is talking about anger. He talks about being quick to listen, slow to speak, slow to anger. And here's something I wanted to ask you guys. What if we, what good would it be if we walked out of here today, after service? Maybe we're walking to our cars, and husbands, I'm pointing you guys out. What if, when we're walking to our cars, we're getting into our cars, and what if we're in our cars and we're driving out, and husbands, maybe your wife says to you, "Honey, I got something to tell you, and I've been waiting for the right moment to let you know this, and I thought maybe now would be a good time." And what if, your wife proceeded to tell you that, I was doing some cleaning last night, and I hope you're not upset about this, but I was trying to clean around your guitar, and it actually accidentally crashed, and it broke. And what if, this is a funny example, but what if, all of a sudden we just go off on our wife, "You are so..." And here's my point. What good would it be if we just looked at God's word together, and it talks about being quick to listen, slow to speak, slow to anger. What good would it be if we just walked out of here and then we went off on someone like that? Or maybe this would apply better to all of us, because I think, unless you can't drive yet. But we walk out of here and, someone cuts us off. I was talking about that last week that happened to me. Someone cut me off, and we just fly off the handle. They can't even hear you, but we just do that anyways. What good would it be if we were here today after we heard this message and we didn't apply this to our lives? And the reason I bring this up is because James says something very similar in the next verses. He says in verse 22, "But be doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving yourselves. For if anyone is a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like a man who looks intently at his natural face in a mirror. For he looks at himself and goes away and at once forgets what he was like. But the one who looks into the perfect law, the law of liberty, and perseveres, being no hearer who forgets, but a doer who acts, he will be blessed in his doing." So when I was looking at this scripture this week, and I don't know if James was actually thinking this, but I almost feel like he was writing this, talking about anger, and I can almost see him thinking but you guys, you need to actually do this, actually live this out. And he says, but be doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving yourselves. And I think James isn't just talking about anger here. I really believe he's talking about God's word. It says, be doers of the word and to live this out. Don't just hear the word and not live it out. And I love the examples that he gives. They're really great. He says, "For if anyone is a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like a man who looks intently at his natural face in a mirror. For he looks at himself and goes away and at once forgets what he was like." Can you picture that? It says that the one who does not do the word but hears is like the person who looks in the mirror, and it says they look intently. Can you imagine looking at yourself intently in the mirror? I don't know what that looks like. It's you're looking intently at yourself in the mirror, and then you walk away, and you've already forgotten what you looked like. And he says this is like the person who hears the words of God and does not do them. That's a killer example. I heard another example similar to, I'm not a parent, but it still made sense to me. If you were to give your son or daughter, if you were to tell them, hey, could you please go clean your room? And maybe they hear you, or maybe they don't. Maybe they have selective hearing. I don't know. I have selective hearing sometimes. But then they don't do it, and it's like, what good is that? And this is similar. And I want to be the first to say, man, I'm guilty of these things. It's like right here in church, hearing the word, and then we walk out the doors and we just forget what was said. Or maybe it's our own time in God's word. We make the time to get up in the morning and read it, but then we just forget it and we don't apply it. I'm guilty of that. I've done that. Whoever's up here, if it's Steve, I've heard some of his messages and just forgotten them. you don't tell him that. No, I'm just kidding. This is what he's saying, and it's like, yeah, it really hits you, and it hits me. And it just makes me think about how this is so important that we are doers of the word. James says, be doers. And this is my same message to us this morning, that we move towards doing, not just hearing. And this morning I want to share just three reasons why it's so important that we are doers of God's word and not hearers only. I think there's more than just three reasons, but I want to share these three. And the first one is this. Number one, you will be blessed. And I want to point us to what James actually says next in verse 25. We looked at this briefly, but look at what he says in verse 25. But the one who looks into the perfect law, the law of liberty, and perseveres, being no hearer who forgets, but a doer who acts, he will be blessed in his doing. And so James says that, hey, those who persevere and live out God's word and live this out, those people will be blessed. And I'm not exactly sure. James doesn't specify exactly what kind of blessing this is. You think about the different blessings there are, and I'm not going to get up here and say that if we live out God's word, that we're going to receive all these earthly blessings and be rich and famous, because, God just doesn't promise that in here. I think being a doer of the word, maybe we receive some earthly blessings. But when I think about being a doer of the word, actually what I thought of was I know that we receive heavenly rewards for what we do here. And I think sometimes when we think of heaven, it's, we've never been there. We know it's going to be amazing. But sometimes it's hard to think about what that reward even is. But when I think about heaven, I just think heaven's got to be the most incredible place ever and the most amazing place. And so whatever these heavenly rewards are, they're going to be incredible, and it's going to be worth living out God's word and being a doer of the word. When I also thought about receiving blessings for being a doer of the word, I think maybe even more so than the heavenly rewards. I don't know what the heavenly rewards will exactly look like. But I think one of the biggest blessings from living out this book is that we're truly going to experience Jesus in this life and into the future. We're truly going to experience him. And that's my second reason why it's so important that we are doers of the word. Because I think when we really, truly live this out, we're gonna experience Jesus. We're truly gonna experience him in this life. And I started thinking, as I was preparing for today, I was gonna say it would be the biggest bummer, but then I thought, no, this wouldn't be a bummer. This would be, it'd be the biggest tragedy. Think about it. If we went through life, our whole lives, it'd be the biggest tragedy if we did not truly experience Jesus in this life. You know? What if, you know, what if we just missed it? We missed his grace, his love, his provision, his power. That would be a tragedy if we really missed it. I think just a personal example of the thing I started sharing about this morning, this house. Man, I want to share with you guys, last summer, Emma and I started praying for a house, and there were a couple that we were looking at, and it didn't really happen. We were praying a lot, and I don't mean this to boast about that, but I just want to share this with you guys. We were praying about this house, and it just wasn't happening. And so we thought, okay, Lord, you must have a different time, something else planned. And then come this February, we got a call from our friends who are moving, and they're like, hey, we're moving. Do you want to buy our house? And every step along the way of this process, the Lord's provided. It's been incredible to see how he's provided. And I just can't imagine not experiencing that if I weren't truly running after Jesus. I just can't imagine, as I look back on the short life that I've lived so far, all of the things that I would have missed if I weren't truly running after Jesus. And man, what a tragedy it would be if we just faked it, you know? If we just faked our faith and our relationship and we just came here and we weren't truly experiencing him. And I wonder, you know, what good is that? What kind of fulfillment even are we receiving in that? And I like James talks about being fake a little bit. In verse 26, he says, if anyone thinks he is religious and does not bridle his tongue but deceives his heart, this person's religion is worthless. I think it's pretty opening. I think James is really, he could be describing a couple of different people here, I think. I think James is talking about someone who, you know, maybe they come to church and they look good and are kind of pretending. But then maybe when they're away from church, there's someone else. Or in private, maybe there's someone else. And maybe they're just, I don't know, letting their tongue fly, or I don't know, maybe it's whatever. But he says this person's religion is worthless. Or maybe even it's someone who says the right things, does the right things, comes to church, and you don't even see that there's something else going on inside that's not right. And he says, this is worthless. And he says that we're just deceiving ourselves. And I think, man, what a tragedy it would be if we don't truly experience Jesus in this life. You know, it's like, what are we truly doing then? You know, and again, as I'm up here, I just want to share, man, I'm not perfect. As I was, you guys know that, as I was preparing for this, it really led me to pray to the Lord, asking him, Lord, help me to be a doer. Help me to live these things out, because, man, there are a lot of things that I struggle with that I'm just not living out. So man, I can't tell you guys that enough as you're thinking about your own life. So number two is you will truly experience Jesus. This is why it's so important to be a doer of the word. The third reason why it's so important to be a doer of the word is this, is that people see Jesus through us. I was reminded this week of a scripture in the book of John. This is John 13, verses 34 and 35, and Jesus is speaking to his disciples. And look at what he says in verse 34, 35. A new commandment I give to you, that you love one another. Just as I have loved you, you also are to love one another. By this, all people will know that you are my disciples if you have love for one another. It's kind of a challenging thing to think about loving each other and everyone like Jesus loved because he died for us, you know? But he says that people are going to see Jesus through our love for one another. And I think, you know, I think this is maybe if I were to like, I don't know, these are all important, but I think this one really hits me as I think about why we should live this out, why we should live out God's word, because if we're not living this out and if we're not loving people and if we're not doing, how will people see Jesus through us? You know, if we're not loving any differently, if our lives are not looking any differently, how will people see Jesus? You know, both as we think about our individual lives and as a church collectively, how will people see him and think, wow, yeah, there is something real here. If we don't look any different and if we're not living this out, how will people see that? And so, man, we need to move towards doing. And in the last couple of verses, James contrasts someone who's really living it out versus someone who is not. I want to share verses 26 and 27. We looked at 26 briefly, but I want to share it again. He says, if anyone thinks he's religious and does not bridle his tongue, but deceives his heart, this person's religion is worthless. Religion that is pure and undefiled before God the Father is this, to visit orphans and widows in their affliction and to keep oneself unstained from the world. And so James really contrasts someone who's faking it versus someone who's really, really living it out. And he talks about someone who's living it out, it looks like visiting orphans, widows in their affliction, and to keep oneself unstained from the world. Now, I've heard of people taking this really seriously, really literally, and really focusing just on taking care of widows and orphans. And I think that's great. I don't believe that this is all that James meant by this, especially when Jesus says that we should be feeding the hungry, welcoming strangers, visiting the sick, visiting those in prison, making disciples. So I don't think this is all that James meant that we should be focusing on. But I really think that James was saying, hey, if we're really living out God's word, this is what it looks like. It's loving others. It's keeping ourselves free from the sin of the world. And as I start to close here, as you guys look at those verses in 26 and 27, as you think about someone who's really living it out, living out the word, or someone who's faking it, I just want to ask you guys this morning, which picture is more true of your own life? As you look at those verses, Which picture is more true of you? And as I say that, and I want to let you guys know that, being a doer of the word, it's not about being perfect. I've spent way too much of my life already trying to be perfect. And it's just impossible. Jesus was perfect. I lived a perfect life and one that we couldn't. So as you think about wherever you're at, this isn't about being perfect. This isn't about faking it. But it's more of a heart question of, are you striving to live this out in the power of the Holy Spirit? You know, because we're never going to be perfect. We're never going to get it all right. But are you striving to live it out? Or do you look at your life and relate more with the person who's looking intently at the mirror and walking away and just forgetting what you looked like? And so, again, the reason I titled this message Move Towards Doing is that I know that we can't change everything at once. And so I said, let's move towards doing and being doers of the word. Because it's so important when we think about our own blessings, our own experience with Jesus in this life, and then other people seeing Jesus in this life too. We gotta live it out. And so I'm gonna invite the band out, and we're gonna start to close. And as the band comes out, two things to think about as we walk out of here. I don't know maybe what you're thinking in your mind, but one thought that came to my mind as we leave here, let's make sure that we don't walk out of here and forget what we just looked at. That through the week, as we're going through our lives throughout the week, that we're remembering that we need to live this out. And then the last thing I want to leave you guys with is a question for you guys to think about and that I thought about this week. And it's this: is there something in God's word that you need to start doing? You know, as you read the word or as you come on Sundays, has there been something that God's been just like yanking on your heart about that you need to start doing in your life and living out? I'm going to pray and then we'll continue worship. Lord Jesus, Lord, I want to ask that you would help us all to live out your word. Whatever that looks like for each one of us here, I know we're all in different spots. But Lord, I just want to ask that you would help us to be doers and that we would truly experience you and that other people would really see you through us, Lord. Help us to do this, Lord. Lead us to what steps that you would have us take next. I just pray this for every one of us and myself. Lord, help us to live out your word all for your glory, Lord. Ask now that you'd continue to lead us this morning as we come to you in worship. And I ask this in your name, Jesus. Amen.